Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Thursday, March 19th edition of the MMA OB Daily Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Adam Martin, and I'll be taking you guys through the latest in the world of mixed martial arts. And obviously, we're still dealing with this coronavirus thing, and the whole MMA world is basically on pause. There is a Cage Warriors event tomorrow, which I'll talk about in a few minutes, but that's pretty much it. I did see some odds for some other events from Russia over at Best Fight Odds, but don't know too much about it. GFC 25, not too familiar with the fighters, but if you are a degenerate gambler, you could bet on that. So, you know, if you're looking for some action, definitely take a look at that. But I do expect a lot of people to tune into that Cage Warriors card tomorrow, which again, I'll talk about in a few minutes here. But I do want to get to some UFC news, because there actually was some news yesterday. So let's start with some roster cuts. The UFC has reportedly cut 13 fighters from its roster. This is according to a report from Tom Feely from Sherdog. And some notable names on the list, like no superstars by any means, but a couple fighters that might surprise you, including the first guy I'm going to talk about here. And I'll go through all 13 of them. But the first guy, definitely most notable, and I was surprised when I saw this, Mirabek Taisimov has been released by the UFC, according to this report. And this is disappointing because Mirabek is a dangerous guy. And he's a bad man, you know, and he had a great record in the UFC, 7-2. He actually had a six-fight win streak at one point between 2014 and 2018. Lost his last fight to Diego Ferreira at UFC 242 Abu Dhabi, the Khabib and Poirier card, and then he got released after that. You know, the biggest problem with him is he can't get a visa to the U.S. He hasn't fought in the U.S. since, well, it's been years. The last time he fought in the U.S. was in 2011 at an M1 Challenge card, and I actually remember that card because they showed it on Showtime. I remember watching that card years ago. So 9 years ago, that was the last card he was on and in the U.S., and since then, he's only fought in other countries around the world. Like, all 9 of his fights in the UFC were not in the U.S. So obviously the matchmakers had a problem matching this guy up because you can only put him on cards that are international. You can't bring him to the U.S. And he was a top 15 ranked guy, Taisimov. But at the same time, how could he fight someone in the top 15 and they could, you know, risk beating them? And then you can't put the guy up the ladder because you can't get a visa to fight in the U.S. So it's obviously a tough cut because he's a very good fighter, but it does make sense if you're a matchmaker. It just probably got really frustrating for them. So definitely a bit of a surprise because he's only 31. He's a young guy still and a very dangerous guy with a lot of experience. But if he can't fight, then what are they going to do with him, right? So it is what it is. Some other names here that might surprise you guys. Chance Rencounter was reportedly cut. And Chance actually had a pretty good run in the UFC 2-2. He had a nice win over Islam Nargiev last year at UFC 239. He also beat Kyle Stewart, lost to Bilal Muhammad and Lyman Good in his last fight and got released. This is kind of a tough cut. I mean, this guy had kind of a tough run. I mean, Lyman Good and Bilal Muhammad are pretty damn good welterweights. Loses to them, and he beats Nardiev, who's a top prospect. So to me, this one's a little surprising. But again, you know, most fighters signed the UFC on a four-fight deal. So his four-fight deal is over, and the UFC just decided, hey, you know what, we'll just let this guy go. I guess they didn't see a ton out of him. I mean, he's kind of a grinder, grappler, but you know, I thought he looked pretty good in the UFC and surprised me anyway. So I probably would have re-signed him, but again, I'm not a matchmaker. Another guy that some fans will be disappointed seeing cut, Dong Young Ma, Maestro, the other Dong Young Kim, little Dong Young Kim. He was cut. Exciting guy. And all of his fights were pretty exciting. 3-5 record, so not a good record at all, but did have a couple like decent wins. Takanori Gomi, Damian Brown, not bad wins. But he had a lot of losses, though, and he's been knocked out 4 times in the UFC to Steele, Paul Reyes, Smith, Holtzman, and then he lost his last fight to Omar Morales. 3-fight losing skid. Usually that gets you booted from the UFC. So, unfortunately, Dong Young Ma was released. But, you know, I expect this guy to find a home soon. 1 championship, Ryzen. He's an exciting guy. He'll get a home soon. Someone will sign him. Matthew Lopez is another guy who was released. Matthew Lopez, a decent bantamweight for sure. 2-4 record in the UFC, so not like incredible by any means, but he did have a couple nice wins over Johnny Eduardo and Mitch Gagnon. Solid wins. But again, 3-fight losing skid to Brad Katona, who was just cut recently. Alejandro Perez and Rafael Sunso also lost to Ronnie Yahya in his UFC debut. So 2-4 record, that's kind of on the bubble. And even though he had that win over Eduardo, which I think is a pretty good win by knockout, wasn't enough to keep him around. Heavyweight Cyril Asker was cut. Nothing special here. 2-3 in the UFC, beat Yao Zhang Hu and Dimitri Smoliak, 2 guys, Jared Cannonier, Walt Harrison, Tito Vesa. So kind of tough losses, but he hasn't fought in over 2 years. So he might have been released actually earlier, but there's just what's being reported now. He's been cut. Getting into some other cuts here. Tanya Evinger, former Invicta FC bantamweight champion, longtime veteran of the sport in the women's divisions. She was released. She had a tough run in the UFC, 0-3, but look who she fought. Chris Cyborg, Aspen Ladd, then Lena Landsberg. The Landsberg fight, she got dominated in that fight. She probably should have won that fight. She was the big betting favorite in that fight. But the other losses to Ladd and Cyborg, like, really no shame in those losses. Two great fighters. So kind of a tough cut. I mean, she has a lot of experience. She's got some really good wins on her resume over the years, too. Irene Aldana, Pandy Kien, Zadiana Kunitskawa. So she's got some good wins. But again, 38 years old, one of the oldest fighters in the women's division, and they decided to let her go. Khalid Mirzataliyev, he was released, but you know, this is a different situation because, first off, he only went 1-0 in the UFC. So he did have a winning record, but only one fight in 2 years. He beat CB Dalloway, destroyed CB Dalloway. If you guys remember that fight, it was like Herb Dean wanted to see CB Dalloway die in the cage that night. But unfortunately, this guy tested positive recently, was suspended for 2 years. So really no surprise he was cut. You know, again, 2 years suspension, that's a long time. And the same goes with Isabella de Padua. She also was cut. She only had one fight in the UFC, 0-1. She lost to Arian Lipsky in her UFC debut. She took it on like 24 hours notice, if I'm not mistaken, last year, but tested positive by USADA, and they decided to let her go. So I guess no big loss there. Some other fighters here, Talita Bernardo, 1-3 in the UFC. She did beat Sarah Morris, who's on the roster still. So she's getting cut after beating someone who's still on the roster, but it is what it is. She lost to Viviana Rujo, Aldana and Murnau, and only a 6-4 pro record. It's not very good. Here's one that won't surprise anyone. Jodi Escobar, you know, a fighter that probably should have been cut a long time ago. I believe she's either married or engaged to Keith Jardine, former UFC fighter. Dana White's, I would say, friend. So, you know, I think that gave her a little bit extra leash in the UFC because she went 0-4. She lost to Kovacevic, Aguilar, Hill, and Cyphers. Four decision losses. In her career, she's 6-6, and she's only finished one fight 9 years ago, 2011. So this is a fighter that's not very exciting and obviously wasn't worth keeping her on the roster. Kyle Prepelik, this guy actually confirmed his release on Twitter. So that's why I am going to go with this story and believe the rest of the cuts are accurate, because this guy actually did confirm his cut. So Kyle Prepelik, Canadian guy, decent fighter, but 0-2 in the UFC. Lost to Hubbard, and Taleb was released. But a guy with a lot of experience on the Canadian regional scene. I've watched this guy fight many times live for different organizations here in Ontario. A little disappointed that he got cut, but again, you know, 0-2. But he does have a lot of experience. Maybe he gets a few wins on the regional scene, they could bring him back. But they have been cutting a lot of Canadian fighters, so it wouldn't be surprising if this is it for him. Marcos Mariano, another guy, 0-2, lost to Claudio Puelles and Lando Venata in his UFC debut, which was a co-main event, which is ridiculous. But he's Anderson Silva's friend, got him a little bit of a long leash there in the co-main event, and then got cut. And then the last guy here is Zhang Hong Liu, who honestly never fought in the UFC. He went 0-1. He went 0-0, of course, because he didn't fight. But I wasn't too sure he was, and I remember that he did fight. Was supposed to fight Movsar Evloev last summer, and the fight got scratched. So that was a fight on the Chinese card, never happened. And obviously the UFC thought that, hey, you know, this guy was for the Chinese card, didn't fight on it. What's the point of keeping him around? So, you know, some disappointing cuts here for sure. Like Tyson Mott especially, Ren Counter, I think that was a bit surprising. But overall, they make quite a bit of sense if you're UFC and you're trying to trim the roster a little bit. So it is what it is. All right, let's get some other news here. UFC 249 has been officially canceled. So that card is not taking place in Brooklyn. UFC 249 may still take place somewhere. We don't really know. Dana White is adamant. He did an interview with Aaron yesterday at TSN, saying basically that we're still doing the fight with Habib and Tony Ferguson, but we're just not sure where it's going to happen. So I don't know, man. At this point, like, where is it going to happen? You know, they're saying Dubai, but how is Tony Ferguson going to fly to Dubai? I don't know. Like, it just seems kind of crazy. And apparently Habib's actually still training right now at AKA. They've closed the gym down to everyone else except for Habib. He trains 2 hours a day. No one else is training there right now. These guys aren't even training. I don't even know how the UFC thinks that a lot of these fighters can fight. No one's really in the gym right now. Like, there's no fights happening. It's kind of nuts. Dana White is, you know, there in his interview yesterday, he was basically saying, like, why bet against me? Don't ever bet against me. But, you know, in this case, this is a fight that Dana White can't win. No one can win this fight against this coronavirus. I mean, it's just going to ride it out and see what happens. A couple other things here. Sam Alvey, who's a training partner of Jan Blachowicz. He did an interview over at BJPen.com, and Sam said that, he's a teammate of Dominic Reyes. He said that Reyes is not getting a title shot. He thinks that Blachowicz is getting it from what he heard. So Jan's probably going to fight John Jones next. And according to Sam Alvey, he's hearing that Dominic Reyes will fight Corey Anderson. So that's interesting. I guess it makes sense. I expect Reyes to pretty much wipe the floor with Corey, though. It probably knocks him out in the first round. But yeah, I mean, with Jan, you know, he's getting up there in age now. And honestly, he does deserve the title shot after those last couple wins. But know, I thought Reyes beat Jones, so it kind of sucks for him, but he probably has to get another win here against Corey Anderson. He'll be right back where he was before. Speaking of light heavyweights, Chris Weidman said he's not done at light heavyweight. He did move down recently to middleweight again, and he's going to be taking on Jack Hermanson in Oklahoma City in May if that fight happens. But he says that he hasn't closed the door at 205, although I don't think that's the right call for him because the last time we saw him at 205, he got pretty much smashed by Reyes. And at middleweight, at least he does have a bit of a size advantage. But again, you know, this guy's chin is pretty well shot at this point. And unfortunately for Chris Weidman, I think his best days are done. So, you know, great fighter at one point in time. But at some point, you kind of got to realize when you got to call it quits. And I think, you know, if Chris gets knocked out here in his next fight by Jack Hermanson, that could be it. If not, the UFC might just cut him because you can't keep a guy around the roster who's getting knocked out every fight. Forrest Griffin, this actually happened last week, but it kind of went underreported, I think. The UFC announced a Forrest Griffin Community Award. They'll be giving it out at International Fight Week every year, $25,000 to the winner of the award for the charity of their choice. And basically, it's for the UFC fighter that Dana White believes did the best charity and volunteer work. So really nice award here that the UFC is doing. And Forrest Griffin is known for being obviously a former light heavyweight champion, and of course his fight with Stephen Bonner on the Ultimate Fighter 1, legend of the sport. But he's also well known in the Las Vegas community for his charitable contribution. So great guy, Forrest Griffin. And it's really nice to see this award named for him. And I'm not sure who's going to win the award. I don't know a ton about who's volunteering and doing charity and stuff, but I'm sure Dana White will make a pretty good selection there. I mentioned Cage Warriors earlier. I got to talk about this now. So Cage Warriors 113, there's been a lot of changes to this card, unfortunately, which sucks, but it's pretty much expected. It's still surprising the events going on, quite frankly, but a lot of changes to the card. So there was supposed to be a fight between John Phillips and Dusko Todorovic. That was a UFC fight going to take place on this card. That fight has been scratched because Todorovic cannot get a visa. So really no surprise there. And a couple other fights were scratched too, including Morgan Scherrer against Darko Banovic, which a lot of people were looking forward to. That fight was scratched, which sucks. But there are still a couple of really good fights on this card, including Darren Stewart versus Bartosz Wodzinski, a UFC fight, which actually will be the main event of this card, which, you know, to some people might be a bit of a controversial decision because they're not in Cage Warriors, but I would argue they are the two biggest names here. So it does kind of make sense, in my opinion, that they're going to put out this card. And then they added actually some other odds over a best fight, as you can see. There's a few extra fights added, but yeah, the one title fight, two title fights actually were scratched with this card, which sucks, but again, it's expected. That card's taking place tomorrow, Friday at 1:30 p.m. in the afternoon. So I'll probably talk about that card a little bit tomorrow and go through it, but it does suck that those fights got scratched, but again, no surprise, and we're still lucky there's a card happening. All right, another thing here, the UFC has announced actually a couple fights here, which might be surprising to you. Because you know there's no card really happening, but they've announced two fights in the last 24 hours, and again, these fights are pretty much up in the air if you ask me. I'm surprised the fighters took them, but yeah, Alan Patrick's gonna be fighting Frank Camacho at UFC Lincoln, which is supposed to take place next month, and I doubt it's gonna happen, but if it does, we'll talk about it quickly here. Alan Patrick, he's had a pretty good run in the UFC, 5-2. He has some nice wins. Demir Hadzovic, John McDessie's good wins. Lost his last fight to Scott Holtzman by knockout. He also lost that Tyson Mott, who I talked about earlier, by knockout. Definitely a decent fighter for sure. Good wrestling game, but coming off that knockout loss, he'll need to win this fight. And then Camacho, I find a very exciting fighter from Guam. He, overall in the UFC, he's just 2-4, but he had two nice wins. The Nick Hine win was great. And his fights, win or lose, have been exciting. And he's lost to really good fighters too. Dariush, Neil, Dober, and Jing Liang. You got to feel for the guy. He's had a tough run of opponents, but obviously it's a must-win fight for him. And the other fight that was announced, light heavyweight at UFC Kazakhstan between Gadzimurov, Antigulov, and Klitson Abreu. It feels like Klitson Abreu gets every like tough Russian in the book. The UFC just throws him at him. Klitson Abreu, the white bear, they call him. He is 1-2 in the UFC. He beat Sam Alvey. Lost to Shamil Gamsatov, which is a fight a lot of people thought he won. And then he also lost to Magomed Ankalaev. He's a decent fighter. He's better than his record, the UFC indicates. And then Gadzimirov, Antigulov, overall in the UFC, he's 2-2. He beat De Lima and Christensen, lost to Kutalov. But kind of reckless, too. So should be a decent fight, actually. Not sure my favor there. Maybe Antigulov. But, he's kind of reckless. So I guess Brayu could just kind of outpoint him. either way, I'm a little surprised UFC's still announcing fights. I mean, a lot of these guys cannot train right now. They cannot go to the gym. So it's kind of strange, right? Anyways, it is what it is. All right, I think that's going to be it for this morning's podcast, guys. And then I'll do tomorrow's podcast. Next week's going to be different, like I mentioned yesterday. Just two podcasts a week until this coronavirus thing's done. And hopefully it doesn't go down to one podcast or zero. That would scare the hell out of me. But for now, two next week. So I'll probably do Monday and Friday, if I'm guessing. But we'll see if that changes. But for now, I'll be doing this podcast today and then tomorrow. And then things change next week. So MMAOliveBigger.com is going nowhere. We're still going to hang around for sure. But, of course, with this coronavirus outbreak, there's not a ton of MMA to talk about right now, unfortunately. Not a lot of odds out there either. But still, definitely, you know, keep with us, and I'll still be doing the podcast as much as I can. So in the meantime, guys, follow me on Twitter at MMAdamMartin, and I'm available at MMAOliveBigger.com, BJPenn.com, and MMAratings.net. Guys, have a great day, and I'll see you tomorrow for the Friday edition of the podcast. Have a good one. Bye.